You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith Voyage by Pastor Chandler Bailey.
All right, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Praise God. It discusses the importance of applying diligence to the promises and about exercising your faith. And it goes into a lot on 2 Peter chapter 1. And we can put that up on the screen's amplified version. And I'm going to read verse 10. It says, therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God by doing these things, actively developing these virtues. And the virtues they're talking about are the qualities of faith that lead us towards growth and spiritual maturity, as well as developing Christian love, loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, learn to be unselfish, seeking the best for others. These are the qualities that these scripture passages is sharing with us. And it says that you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly provided to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you. I'm going to pause here, because what the scripture is sharing with us, as Peter writes, is he's basically implying to his target audience that you heard me talk about faith all the time before. You heard me hold you accountable when it comes to what God can do in your life. You heard me hold you accountable as I traveled and raised you up and discipled you, that God can do it, you know. You heard me let you know, you heard me tell you that God can still water that seed that's planted inside of you. But the writer's still reminding us that I will always be here to remind you. I will always be here to remind you. I will always be here to remind you these things, even though this is the part to me that is really humbling, even though you already know them and are established in the truth. What are you talking about, you son? I'm not a love my neighbor. I know what the word says. But the writer's saying, I know I'm a great apostle. I know when I walk by, my shadow healed people and they tried to touch my clothes as Jesus. And I perform miracles and I'm an apostle of the faith. I mean, hey, I'm Peter. I hung out with Jesus himself. You know I got power. Shouldn't I talk about something more in depth, more theological, something with bigger wordplay, something to show you my intellectual strength? He said, no, the simplicity that I'm here to be a monumental reminder to you that you will always work your faith. That yes, I was with Jesus, but I'm saying the simple thing to you, that you will have to work your faith and be established in this truth, which is held firmly in your grasp. Touch your neighbor to the left and right and say, how you been hanging on in faith? How have you been? How have you been? What has your world been like believing God for your business? What has your world been like holding on to faith in your marriage? What has your world been like hanging on to faith with your children? What was it like when you believed God, young person, to go to that college, but that door didn't open up? How you been doing with that? All 4 years in Epic and in youth ministry, you thought God told you that school, but now you're at this school. It doesn't look like your faith target was that specific. It looks like your prayers were off target. How have you been doing with your faith? How have you been doing with your faith? The Message translation highlights different summaries of this. But 12 through 15 says this in the Message translation of 2 Peter. It says, because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to attention before it. So this morning, my subject is the voyage of faith, and I want to turn our attention to something that you might have even built your life on. You might have even built your relationships and your business on, but we're going to go back to those fundamentals, because in order to receive God's steps for his plan to go on this voyage, you must be willing to run the long distance. And I could have titled this Journey of Faith, but voyage simply means to go on a long journey, typically by sea or in space. A long journey involving traveling by sea or in space, meaning that this is a long journey. This course of travel is going to take some, you're going to have to take some, the right packing materials with you. You're going to have the right people who understand why you're on this path of faith, because everybody else is not going to start a business like you. I'm going to say it again. Not everybody else is going to start a business like you where you tithe off the gross. You tithe off a profitable business into a nonprofit organization. Now everybody's not going to understand that. Shouldn't you invest that money? I got to say, if you personally tithe your salary entrepreneur, but you're tithing off your business, you're tithing off your LLC, you're creating, I thought this was supposed to be separate. I thought you were doing just a Sunday school Christianity. I didn't know you were going to live by this thing. Didn't know you're going to start your week off with prayer. Didn't know you're going to end your week with a praise. Didn't know that you're not going to go to any school, young person, unless the Lord speaks. So you'll fast all summer because you take your youth ministry that serious. You take this season of being young so serious. You realize that, yes, the best thing in my life is I have time, but also the worst thing in my life is the devil knows I have time too. So you take your young days as serious as a seasoned citizen takes their seasoned days. Come on, young people. Why do we feel like we can play with time? But play with time because we feel like we have more time. Tomorrow is not promised, and the promises aren't activated unless you go after it like it's promised. And if you're wasting your time, young person, like the promises of God are on layaway for your life, you're gonna miss out because the promises of God are already always now. Faith is now, so God has something for you now, not later. And so even though you think you have all the time in the world, if you're wasting time, you're wasting in-season promises. You'll never be on that varsity football team again, young person. Not after that season's passed. You can't be 30 years old. I can't be praying at 31 years old, take me back to Dutchford High School. I declare in the name of Jesus that I'm starting. I'm starting for Dutchford High School football right now. That promise is no longer activated. What do we do when we realize we waste time on our voyage? We get disappointed in God, and we travel our voyage with a bad attitude. So you're at church, but you ain't smiling. You're at prayer, you ain't really praying. You're in praise and worship, but you're not really praising worship. Praise worship God for what? Why? I've been practicing these things, I've been doing these things, and it seems like nothing's activating in my life. But these steps and these processes and these milestones, you know, you have to think through it on your faith journey, and you have to face the fact that when you give yourself away to this truth, it's ready for you. So I want to encourage you, but also ask you, are you willing to wax on and wax off? Are you allowing God to wax on and wax off what needs to be waxed in and waxed out of your life? And when I think about wax on and wax off in this moment, I think about the finishing, you know, polish after you wash your car. And you realize that the wax is the person who waxes the car, they take their time. They take their time and they're making sure there's no blemishes, and they make sure that it looks good to how the person who owns the vehicle looks good. They're not waxing their car for what their neighbor thinks. They're waxing their car based upon what they can see. But I also think, they have a little fun, I think about Karate Kid and how he trained to be in karate. I'm not tying this on my head like I did in first service. Watch the video. Because I'm hanging on to this mic, Jesus. Put it on. Yes, sir. Man of God told me to put it on. Are you willing to allow God to be your sensei? And are you willing to do the simple thing in repetition? Are you willing to wax on and wax off? How many of y'all seen Karate Kid? I ain't talking about that new Karate Kid with the braids and stuff. I ain't talking about the hip-hop Karate Kid. I'm talking about the who's that little kid Karate Kid. Who's that other kid Karate Kid? That kid. That Karate Kid. Not this Karate Kid. That Karate Kid. You know the difference. I'm talking about this Karate Kid, not that Karate Kid. So, in that Karate Kid, we ain't know who that dude was, but we know that he was waxing on and waxing on. He had to do everything right, washing fences and whatever else. But it's a scene in the movie where he's injured, and it looks like he's having defeat. Is a storm too, right? It's a storm, wind's blowing. Wow, is a storm in the movie? Help me out, remind me. It's a storm and everything. So much stuff to distract him to make him feel like he's going to lose, but he went back to the discipline thing. And what God's challenging you to do this morning is, are you willing to go back to the discipline thing? Because in that discipline thing, it might feel foolish, but in that testimony, there's greatness. Because 1 Corinthians 1 and 27, it says this, the Amplified version. But God has selected for his purpose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And I know Karate Kid's not in the Bible, but man, the person he defeated, man, that was some shame stuff. Because it looked like what's going to happen, but he was able to beat him with one kick in repetition. What if your tie does break you into your next dimension? I know you're looking, but what if it's repeated? What if you serve a God that gives you repeat breakthrough? What if God's about to break something in your life through the simple place of obedience, of telling the truth in love? Watching what you say. What if God can do something? And it says, and God has selected for his purpose the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, revealing their frailty. So God has a plan with his wax on off ways. God will, you know, he'll sit in your purpose and he'll sit on your destiny. And as you serve someone else's in something that might seem foolish, why won't you do your own thing? Why are you serving? Why are you doing this? Why are you placing other people before you? Because it's a kingdom principle and God has a way of waxing on and waxing off what needs to be in my life. It's not about what your aunt thinks, your relatives think. It's about what God wants to do in your life. So he'll hook you up and have you carrying a Bible. He'll have you vacuuming a church. He'll have you being a steward while you're renting. He'll have your apartment looking better than someone else's home ownership. He'll have your situation and your temporary be treated with excellence because God wants to make sure that you're disciplined. But you got to say, you got to be in repetition. I'm willing to allow God to clean me up. I'm willing to allow God to wax on and wax off. I'm willing to do what needs to be done. Tell your neighbor this, say, I'm willing to do what needs to be done for my breakthrough. I'm willing. Are you? Are you? Because it might require inconvenience. And in this season where we want everything convenient, it's hard to serve a God that feels like your inconvenience is his convenience. If any of you all wash my car right now outside, for me, that's convenient. For you, it's not, because you did not come to this church with the agenda to wash Pastor Chandler's car. But he'll bless me. I'll be like, well, you know, they can walk. I know Pastor said nobody walking, but I'm going to be out of order real quick. Go ahead and walk. I'm going to deal with it later. My car going to be clean, though. God has a way of using those inconvenient places, in your life, like that job you're working on, and you feel like them coworkers are of the devil. But they're of the devil to make sure the devil ain't in you. And until you react to the devil like Jesus and stay consistent and stand in the love of God with no one loving you and everybody's trash talking you, but you're staying clean by the blood of Jesus and you're witnessing the targets and everybody throwing things your way and they're trying to throw shade on you, but you're shining too bright because you got the star of Jesus, the star of David is over your life and the favor of God rests on you because favor isn't. So why are we requiring people to treat us so fairly? Are you willing to wax on? God will put me in unfair conditions. So the unfair conditions of my life are the perfect conditions for favor. Because favor is not fair. It needs an unfair scenario. It needs someone to hijack what was yours. It needs someone to lie about your application. Favor needs somebody. I need your brothers to bury you and sell you to slavery. I need something in your life that's intimate to break your heart. Favor needs somebody who's sad right now. I see favor moving around right now. God's saying you came in here hurt, but the favor God's gonna bust you upside your head. I need someone to give God praise who feels like things have been unjust in your life. You need to spin around right now. Your environment is conducive to favor. Matter of fact, I'm praising God that things aren't right. It means that God's about to make it right. I need God. My environment looks like the only thing that can change it is the favor of God. My brothers don't like me. Not my brothers, but I'm acting like I'm Joseph. People talking about me. They're trying to throw shade on you. Why are you so important that the devil's bothering you and bugging you? and you don't even have nothing yet. You're paying your rent on time. You're just trying your best to live. Woo! Oh, you're a millionaire. You feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck. Why are you so important that the devil still bother you with your limited funds? No, 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 no. The promise of God has something for you at the end, and the devil's trying to keep you stuck in your situation, in your condition, but you are powerful. Look to your left or right and say, I didn't know I was that important. I didn't know I was that important. I didn't know Sensei saw. Oh, that's why I have to repeat my church attendance. That's why I got to show up even if the devil's trying to show out. That's why I got to pray even if I don't. I get it, God. You're doing something in this. Nothing's changed. I'm changing. My friends ain't changing. I'm changing. God said, until you don't need support, you ain't ready. Until you don't need someone to tag you and act like they see you, you're not ready. You're on a faith voyage, and this voyage is for you. There's customized trials and tribulations that your homegirls can't handle. That's why you handle more breakups differently than your girls, and you know how to move on real quick. Some of y'all have a move on anointing. They try to trip on you, you're already gone. My heart is not attached to you. I'm working on some things, but I learned how to navigate in relationships. I know how to protect what's God, and I know what's my God. I'm on a faith voyage, and I learned how to carry my book bag and strap my boots up and say, okay, God, they might start with me for the first 100 meters. So you got to own your journey. Say, I got to own my journey. 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 You know, why don't got me like that yet? Bitches, focus, Chandler, focus. You got to own your journey. You have to own your journey for ears who have ears, and for those who seen, laugh. For those who didn't see, keep focused. Stay focused. You got to own your journey. You got to fight this battle in your voyage from the perspective of ownership. See, you're not fighting for something that God wants you to have. You're fighting for something that God says is already for you. Home ownership is already yours. God wants to make sure you have a vehicle to get to where you need to go, to and fro. That relationship that God has assigned for you is already yours. It may not have been revealed yet, but the love of God is yours. The peace of God is yours. You got to own your journey. You're fighting from a position of ownership. So now that you have the deed, you don't put up with the stuff you put up with when you were trying to get the deed. You have it. See, no one can tell you it's your. I know legally when you purchase something, you know it's yours. But the truth be told, nobody knows something's yours unless your attitude lines up. There's a difference between you strolling around in your own house and you strolling around in someone else's house. But without even paperwork and showing it to anybody, people can tell what's yours by your attitude. You're about to walk into a sales situation. And even though legally it looks like it's not yours, it is, because God said it's yours. And I don't arts and entertainment. And God's going to open a door up for you because God said it already belongs to you. You're going to walk into that meeting like it's already yours. Fight from the position that I have the deed. Say, I have the deed to this thing. You're not negotiating to get it. You're negotiating from the perspective that God said you already have it. Woo! So now you choose your house differently because you will have a home. It's just which one. You choose your friends differently because you got friends. It's already yours. So now it's just option now. But when you're on this voyage of faith, you got to get used to deciphering through options. Because you own your journey and you know God has things of God for you. So you got to watch out for good. Because what God has for you is so God that the distractions in your life are no longer bad distractions. You got to watch out for good opportunities. Am I talking to anybody prophetically right now? You know what I'm talking about? God built your life so God that you got to watch out for people with good talk, because the distractions that show up in your life, they're good scenarios. They're just not the God scenario. It's a good idea. It's just not the God idea. So when you're in the will of God, the purpose of God, you're on the voyage of faith, you got to watch out for good people. Is this the God connection? Is this the one God wants me to have? Is this the salesperson God wants me to do business with? Is this the home God wants me to have? I'm on the voyage of faith. I got to watch out for good. The devil wants to weaken my senses to put me in a good situation. Someone needs to write down right now, I got to avoid good situations, and I have to look and seek for God's situations. Tap your neighbor and say, watch out for good situations. When you're in the will of God, you have to watch out for good situations. It's messing with your mind, right? You know why? Because this is faith talk. God's about to build your life, Abraham. Keep going. Keep walking. Watch out for good situations. I know Lot's your good cousin, but it's not a God relationship. You got to separate from your Lot even though it feels good. God's saying, I have something for you, but it requires you to present your body as a living sacrifice. Present your business as a living sacrifice. Present your relationship, your dating, as a living sacrifice. Watch out for good. Watch out for good. Watch out for good. You got to own your journey. And when you own your journey, you earn the good days and the bad days of faith. When you own your world and you own how God is processing you, you don't complain like everybody else complains. You just see it from a different perspective. I'm one scripture away from interpreting my scenario differently. I know I feel like it's this way. Like Bishop said, don't process your thoughts on social media. Process your thoughts with the word of God. Oh, that didn't work out the way I needed to work it out. Oh, but Romans 8:28 says God can work out everything for my good. Oh, so God can use a bad day and make it my dab day. I'm about to dab on the devil. Bad, B-A-D, dab, D-A-B. God's about to reverse the bad days and have me dabbing on the devil. God's about to work it all out. I'm going to be in a situation where I'm so glad I got out that apartment. I'm so glad I don't live there no more. I'm so glad I'm not dating that person no more. I'm so glad. Now, I wasn't glad when I was going through it, but I ended up being glad. I need someone who's walking in the favor of God to give God praise. I got to own my journey. I got to own my journey. I got to own my journey. Moses was in the between place. According to Numbers, he had to own his journey too. There's some days in the purpose of God. Osh, there's some days in your assignment where you get frustrated because the people God gave you to serve, they are acting all. So in Numbers, this is what Moses did on his bad day, but it turned out being his dab day. Some say, come to God real. Say, come to God authentic. See, you're on a journey. You're on a voyage. There's no point of faking like you're lonely. It's no point of faking like you don't really want that house. It's no point of faking like he did not really hurt you. You're on a voyage, and there's some rocks and some stones and some snakes, and you might have get stung by a bee, and a dragon might have came out tonight, and a cougar might be, how are you from the mountaintop? I don't know what weird environmental situation is trying to attack your faith, but you got to be ready for the voyage. And in Numbers 11, Moses is having a fit. He says, Lord, why are you treating me, your servant, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve this burden of this assignment of living by faith in the wilderness with your people? I did not give birth to these people. Did I bring them into this world? No, you didn't. It's not like he's fussing. He's actually asking God dumb questions that God already knows. So to a sense, this is almost disrespectful theologically that the servant of God is questioning God. Did I give birth to these people? He was so close to the hand creator of his destiny that he could keep it 100 with him. God is so close to you that you don't have to get your words together to say what needs to be said.
A voyage is a long journey. Like a voyage, when it comes to the things God has for us, sometimes it just takes time. Pastor Chandler Bailey encourages you to stay on your voyage and watch God work. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Faith Voyage.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.